Welcome, everyone. This is the Board of Adjustment meeting for December the 12th. You could have a roll call, Lisa.
Paul?
Here.
Gallagher? Johnson?
Here.
Stranger?
Here.
Gallagher?
Here. The Board of Adjustment is a five-member board appointed by the mayor. Its meetings are held monthly. Each member has had an opportunity to go out and view the site in question and comes back usually to make a decision at the meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the October 10th meeting?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
I do have one correction.
Okay.
The back page, third paragraph, the second line, adjacent lot owner, so that a variance would not be, would be unnecessary. I misread that. I apologize, I do not have a correction.
Okay. Thank you. Would you call the vote, Lisa?
Paul?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Stranger?
Yes.
Bowser?
Aye. Yes. The board has four different items on the agenda this evening. I think for a time, we're going to skip to item D to start out. And that's case 13-066 at 2999 Middle Road. It's a request for a variance to allow a 5-foot fence along Middle Road property line submitted by the City of Bettendorf and Palmer Hills Golf Course. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
I think we all know the location, recognize that it is the Palmer Hills Golf Course. They would like to place a 5-foot high fence adjacent to the property line, next to the property line, which is adjacent to Middle Road, and the location of the 5-foot high fence is shown with the red line. If allowed, this fence would run from the west property line to the main entrance to the facility. The city recently installed a 10-foot wide recreation trail directly adjacent to Middle Road in this area, and this is the reason for the request. Fence previously was at this location, but it had to be removed so that the previous sidewalk could be widened into the recreational trail. Then they would like to replace the fence with a 5-foot high black vinyl coated chain link fence. There is a considerable amount of area across the street which is zoned office transitional, or at least is being used as office transitional, so fence adjacent to areas such as that is not uncommon. The nearest portion of this fence towards any residence is going to be at least 150 feet away. And to be clear, the issue is not the placement of the fence. A 4-foot high fence can go directly where they'd want to put this fence. The only issue here is whether it can be 1 foot higher. Instead of a 4-foot fence, they feel a 5-foot fence would serve them better, especially now adjacent to this new very wide 10-foot wide recreational trail. Spoke to the management at Chateau Knoll at least a couple of occasions regarding this request, and after seeing what is being requested here, they did not indicate any objections to this. I believe that summarizes the request before you, but I would like to give you an explanation as to why the fence posts are in place. The request, of course, was coming before the November meeting, and it had to be postponed due to the fact we couldn't get a quorum together. And at that time, the fence installer became concerned that with a project of this large, that frost would be going into the ground by the time we got here. He was very right about that. On job sites now, we're seeing about 8 inches of frost into the ground already. We told them, go right ahead, put the posts in, do not place the fence up at this time. Depending on how this comes out, posts can always be cut down 1 foot and a regular fence be put in. There's no violation. So that's the reason that he went ahead with that, and he did so with staff's approval. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. What was the previous height of the existing fence that was there?
I believe it was 4 foot.
4 foot, okay, thank you. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of this request?
Yes, I would, please.
I'm Tim Johansson, Golf Course Maintenance Manager at Palmer Hills Golf Course. One of the other reasons why this fence would be better served is 5 foot. When they put the path in, they had to move it inwards towards the golf course a little bit, which in several locations from the entrance road back, probably about a third of the length of that of the fence, it set the fence downward a little bit because there's quite a bit of slope there from the entrance towards the west. And that 5 foot fence actually at that point would appear no more than a 4 foot high off of the top of the path.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, is there a decision by the board? Or a motion?
I guess I have a question. What is that area that you were talking about? Is it a long distance where the fence is now, it would seem like it's only 4 feet because it's down the slope?
Yes.
Like half the length of the project, or?
This point here, roughly to this point right here, that area right in there is a very sharp
okay.
drop off.
Okay. I wasn't really noticing that, so that's why I was wondering. So it's on the back slope, basically coming
yes.
off of this.
Yes.
How much closer is the sidewalk now than it was before?
I wouldn't characterize it as being closer.
No.
It was adjacent to the sidewalk previously.
So it was typical 1 foot. In fact, it's probably a little bit further away because of clearance issues for a trail.
Well, it would be farther away from the travel portion of Middle Road because the trail widened from a 4 foot wide sidewalk, and now it's 10 foot. So it's pushing the fence farther away. I guess the good thing about allowing them to install the poles, you got a good visual of what it's going to be like one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. I guess I don't really know the difference why a 4 foot fence would not, except for that particular location that he's talking about. I don't see the difference why they would need a 4 foot versus a 5 foot.
You mean a 5 foot versus a 4 foot?
Right, a 5 foot versus a 4 foot.
I guess I would speak as a patron of Palmer Hills Golf Course. I can tell you that that area along there is, from a golfer's perspective, I think if I was walking on that sidewalk or running on that path, I would literally like to have about an 8 foot fence there because you're in harm's way there. So it is a safety issue, I feel, that it's to have that fence higher. In fact, I was a little surprised when we got this that it was only 5 foot high. So I think from a safety standpoint, also I think it'll keep golfers from trying to climb over that fence and get out into the right of way to retrieve golf balls that have been hit out there, because yep. people will do that for a $2 golf ball. So
that's an interesting point. I guess I had seen that with the mm-hmm. the previous fence.
Mm-hmm. Golfers are a little bit more energetic apparently than I.
Young ones.
Does someone want to make a motion on this item?
I would make the motion to allow the 5 foot fence along Palmer Hills Golf Course.
Is there a second?
I second it.
Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Bolliger?
Aye. Yes. Case number 13-065 at 6655 Crow Creek Road is a request for a variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 40 feet to 10 feet to allow for a 14 by 50 foot house addition submitted by Bob and Martha Border. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
Location is on the south end of Crow Creek Road, just north of the intersection with Valley Drive. The site in question is being indicated with the white arrow on the display. The applicants would like to place a 14 by 50 foot addition onto the rear of the house. Excuse me. This lot averages approximately 78 feet wide. The combined front and rear setbacks for the A2 zoning district totals 70 feet. So if you would put the 30-foot setback in front and the 40-foot setback there, that is your buildable area for this lot. Approximately 8-foot buildable area. The closest buildable area behind this house is nearly 700 feet away due to the topography and the wooded area that exists behind this. This is Pleasant Valley School District property. They routinely maintain large open spaces around their school facilities. Immediately behind and adjacent to this property is a 100-year flood zone, which also makes it very unlikely that that area behind the house could ever be developed. It would entail considerable problems for anybody who would ever want to build back there. Staff recognizes in the staff report that any time the strict application of the code makes a lot totally unbuildable, that that certainly does demonstrate a hardship. Given the totality of the examination of the case, staff feels that even if this is approved, that the intent of the setback, that being proper separation from one structure to another, will still be maintained. I believe that summarizes the request.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Anyone wishing to speak in favor of item C? Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, what's the board's decision?
I have a question. My question is, the flood zone, the 100-year flood zone, is, you say, is very close. Do we know approximately how much separation? I assume there is some separation between the 14-foot proposed addition and the edge of the flood zone.
You can build right up to the edge of the flood zone. So, no, there would be no requirement for a separation.
There's no between. Additional. Okay, no, so we're okay.
We regulate the 100-year flood zone. If there is a structure that is to be within the flood zone, it must be placed at least 1 foot above the base flood elevation in that flood zone.
So this house is okay with the
Absolutely.
Way it is? Yes. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Is there a motion?
I'll move we approve the request for a variance to reduce the required rear setback from 40 feet to 10 feet at 6655 Crow Creek Road.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, been moved and seconded. Lisa, will you call the roll, please?
Falk?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Poliker?
Yes. Thank you. Item B is case 13-064 at 2777 18th Street. It's a request to increase the allowable square footage of a parking instructional sign from 9 square feet to 30 square feet and to allow two non-street frontage non-premises identification signs building mounted. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
This site is directly across from the Phase Field on 18th Street. The site is outlined in yellow on the graphic being displayed, and it was recently converted into a Jiffy Lube oil change shop, opened approximately 3 weeks ago. The applicant would like to place the parking instructional sign in this area here, and the two building mounted signs here. If allowed, the parking instructional sign will be 30 feet back from the closest portion of 18th Street. The reason for the additional square footage is for that considerable setback, as well as the tree obstruction that you can see behind the sign or to the north of the sign. Of course, as the photo was taken here, the tree is bare, but quite a bit of the time during the year that tree is not bare. And that's the reason for this. Also, if I could do this halfway decently, the vast majority of the lot that is open is on the south side of the building, and it is the owner's desire to have vehicles enter from 18th Street onto the south side and go into the building there from the rear and exiting the front. The reason for that is there's a much greater area for stacking over here than there is this narrow area over next on the north side. So they'd like to have something that catches the eye and directs them to come in on the southernmost drive to take them around to the back of the building. There are no line of sight issues. Staff has been down and examined that. More than enough room for two vehicles to stack in front of the sign if they were stopped before entering 18th Street. And then if allowed, this would be a picture of the north side of the building and the south side of the building. If allowed for the non-street frontage signs, it would match directly as to what already exists at Little Caesars. They have a sign on the back of their building that is a non-street frontage oriented sign. So it's certainly in keeping with what already exists directly next door. I believe that summarizes the case. There is additional signing on this building. There's a new pole sign that just went up 2 days ago. There'll be a sign on the front of the building. They're not of issue. They are in compliance with our ordinances. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
Yes.
Would you go back to the podium, please, and state your name?
Good evening, Board. My name is Dragan Dabizovich, and I'm with Jiffy Lube. The primary of the traffic directional sign that we want to put on the south side, it's a shared entrance with Mel Foster, and that's I don't want it to get confused with the north side, which is going to be our exit. And also, that is the primary source, like where our delivery trucks are going to come in. So it might cause a lot of backups and delays and like little bottlenecks that we want to avoid. We want to have it similar to a drive-through type atmosphere where everyone goes in one direction and exits out the other. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, what's the board's decision? Do we have any questions?
Mr. Chairman, just procedurally, mm-hmm. You could choose to approve it as requested. You could choose to partially approve it, either one of the requests or both of the requests, or, of course, you know, you always have the option to deny.
How big were the signs that we approved over at Bettendorf High School? Do you happen to recall about the size?
What are these? Are
it's similar. The
six
sign.
By five. The Bettendorf would be about twice as wide as what this is. Mm. Perhaps a little wider than that.
Okay.
And they had two of them, as you'll recall.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Also had this previously with Trinity Hospital. They have additional directional signs there that are larger than normal.
We even one at the Christian Church. We approved that. Right. That's much larger, yes. Too, than normal.
No, just a comment. I think this is in keeping with what we've been doing along 18th Street.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make the motion to approve the variances as a package.
Is there a second?
Second.
Would you call and roll, Lisa?
Moss?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Stringer?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Case 13-064 at 2777 18th Street has been approved. Case number 13-053 at 2501 53rd Avenue. It's a request for a special use permit for an outdoor service area to be similar or compatible to uses existing within the premises submitted by the clubhouse. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is. The clubhouse is the site up at the shopping center, which is located between Brentwood and 18th and just south of 53rd. Clubhouse is located in the corner of the L of the building, which is being displayed here. They would like to place an outdoor service area at the front entrance, the main entrance, again, which is being pointed to with the arrow on the display here. Outdoor service area would encompass the area which is highlighted in yellow on the display. If you were visiting the site, it is an area that has, I don't know if you would call it a fence or a railing around it. It's kind of a cross between the two, which gives a defined border to the area that would be used for the outdoor service area. In 2011, the board did approve an outdoor service area at Crust Pizza. The square footage of this request is relatively similar to that which was approved at Crust. Back in 2011, the board did deny an outdoor service area for this business to the rear of the building. That request was to place the outdoor service area here. This is the reason that they are able to come back before you and ask this again, is that it is a substantial change from the original request. During that discussion, there was considerable public input about noise and concerns of an outdoor service area here, and in your packet I have the minutes of that previous meeting, and the board members did make clear that they were not in support of at that time of an outdoor service area either in the front or the back. Since that time, of course, Crust has had their service area. I have contacted the police department commanders, and they have indicated that there's been no complaints of the outdoor service area at Crust. I have three letters of opposition to this request. The first one is from Mr. John Sheets at 5247 Brentwood. I have an additional letter of opposition from a Tom DeLulio of 2483 Linwood, also the owner of 5311 Glen Eagles Road, has submitted a letter of opposition. And a couple days ago, I received a letter of support for the request from Chuck Rule, who is the owner of Crow Ridge Plaza. I believe that summarizes the request. Happy to answer any questions, should you have them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
I'm AJ Paul, partner owner of the clubhouse. We're really not trying to change any of our operation. As it goes right now, our customers who do come and have some drinks occasionally want to venture outside a little bit, and it creates a problem for us trying to police that, as they're currently not able to. And we're just trying to basically give people what they want. As it stands right now, if people are going to go outside to smoke a cigarette or whatever, they have to leave their drink inside at our front desk unattended, which is a little bit of a, you know, concern for them, security concern somewhat. We are just asking to have them be able to take their drinks outside with them into the front patio area inside of the fence that we've created. We really don't feel that this is going to create any additional noise of any kind. It's further away from any houses than the existing outdoor service areas with crust and with habaneros. And in the past, we asked for it in the back to keep it away from our front entrance. And because it was directly adjacent to the homes is why there was so much opposition to that, and we understood that. With this, with the building in between the service area and the homes, we think that'll provide a suitable sound damper. And in the other directions, there's just a lot of space. We aren't going to necessarily do any sales or service out here. Our main points of sale are going to be inside. And this is just to allow people to take what the drinks they purchase inside outside with them if they were to go outside, but then make sure that they keep them with inside the confines of the fence.
A person must buy their beverage inside and take it out themselves. There will be no service people servicing that area?
We don't plan on that at this time. Our cocktail waitresses will still be indoors, and our points of sale at the bar will still be indoors.
And you do not serve food, but there is food available to be purchased and and brought to your facility?
Right. People are welcome to bring anything from the outside in. And also we work with Crust, and people can order food from Crust directly from our employees and have it brought to them.
Does anyone here have a questions of the gentleman?
Not at this time.
No. Okay. Is there anyone here are you finished, sir?
Yeah.
Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request?
Hi, I am Tyler Driever. I live at 2536 Lindenwood Drive. And I realize that we are fighting an uphill battle with this. I've noticed that at previous meetings, a lot of you guys and this row that's not here tonight have mentioned that the clubhouse is a fine establishment with great golf simulators, nice area indoors to visit. I've heard about informal council meetings being held there, police officer retirement parties being held there. The mayor even personally invited both the owners and their lawyer down here to be present for a committee of the whole meeting where our Alderman Adamson was going to bring up the concerns that we've voiced to him, which you can hear audibly on the tape. That's highly irregular. That's our problem. You guys see the nice place. You see the tax revenue. You see the perks of comping alcohol for some of the parties, and you hear them saying they're just trying to be good neighbors. But the one you visit during the day for your council duties and maybe personal time that you guys go there for, that's not the clubhouse that we've come to know. We had an incident September 12th where Mr. Paul showed us the kind of neighbor he can be. Allegedly, he was arrested for public intox, tampering with two of our motor vehicles, and harassment of the very neighbors that we live around there. If you want to get into specifics, I requested the police records of the clubhouse from April 6, 2011 until September 12, 2013. There were 161 police calls, records of police calls. Granted, and I have the list here, a lot of the police calls were for general checks, which the police say is absolutely normal. But inside there, which I highlighted, all the ones that include assault, drug call, hit and run calls, theft, warrant checks, and then our disturbance calls that we've made. They're all included in there. In their application, they were comparing themselves to Crust because they have an outdoor patio. I would argue that Crust is a restaurant, a very nice restaurant. I enjoy going there. It's not a bar. And then, as you guys mentioned, they do not have the history of police calls, none. I asked for that same, you know, same report. There are none. With all the ongoing issues that we've had or now dealing with the clubhouse, I ask why I compound the issue and allow it to move outside. Thanks.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor of this request or against this request?
Martha Nankabell. I am also directly adjacent to the property in question. And I thought it was important to bring up a little bit of history. When we met in 2011, and the lawyer for the clubhouse specifically told us that this was a golf establishment and not a bar. Their liquor license is actually listed as the clubhouse beverage. And even when we call the police and we say, I'm calling about the clubhouse, the police answer, do you mean the clubhouse bar? So I think we should just get it clear that this is not primarily a golf establishment. We have a friend, a young man who was about to start the night shift at John Deere not long ago, just a very short time ago. And he said, well, I was trying to stay awake, so I thought I would do something different. So he went there at 10 o'clock at night to have a golf lesson. And inside the building, it was so noisy, he couldn't even hear the person who was trying to give him some kind of direction. It was a complete waste of his time because the bar was so noisy, is what he said. So I think that right off the get-go, we should refer to it as the clubhouse bar, which is what it is. And when it was originally given access to be adjacent to our properties, it was not touted as a bar. So I think that's a huge difference, and I wish we had the ability to make a change of substantial difference. As we talked about, there's been a number of calls for noise violations, and back in 2011, we, the homeowners, were encouraged to make calls because there was a noise problem even then. And we were told, as you'll read in the minutes or you can read on the tape or see on the tape, whatever, we were told, absolutely, make those calls to the police. Well, I'd like to ask you how many times you think we don't call. It's regular. You sit there trying to go to sleep or it wakes you up, the noise. Even when the house is all closed up for this weather, just a couple of weeks ago, I called, and here's what happened. The policeman came into my house. We were in bed in our pajamas, and I was like, I have to call. So I called. The man came into our home, went upstairs to the bedrooms to measure the noise, woke up our son, spent about a half an hour going outside, measuring, and all of that, and then coming back in. That is a huge intrusion on our privacy and our lives, and that's just a really small example of the kind of nuisance and problem that we have to deal with all the time. So I want you to remember, when you're thinking about all those police calls, the huge number of times we don't call. It's very regular, and I think that if you just average out those calls, you know, there's only 52 weeks in a year, and we've got over 40 calls from neighbors saying there's a noise problem or there's this or that problem. I mean, we've been smelling things that are illegal, and problems of that nature are occurring all the time. So when I look at the staff report regarding this precise request, I wanted to point you to the rules that your board must abide by. And one of those rules is that it will not unreasonably diminish or impair established property values within the surrounding area, and that it will not in any other respect impair the public health, comfort, safety, morals, or welfare of the inhabitants of the city. We are inhabitants of the city, and we have rights. on the staff report where you were recommending, your staff was recommending that this be approved. This is back from September 12th, 2013. If approved, the staff will monitor and ensure that all codes are complied with if the request is approved. And I'd really like you to ask yourselves if you're going to be there personally at 1 o'clock in the morning to monitor the amount of noise, which if we're hearing all this from a closed building, and by the way, we get letters saying we're within 200 feet, we're within 0 feet, we're adjacent. If we're getting this much noise in our homes with the windows closed from a closed building, imagine the degree of noise there will be from an open area. The fact that it is just on the other side of that building is not going to do anything to diminish the noise. It's going to come right up over. When you think about our house is right behind there, it's not just the neighbors who are adjacent that are having problems. It's our neighbors across our street, so that's further away, their backyard neighbors, and neighbors on the rest of the on the other side of that following street that I know personally have made noise calls. That's quite a distance for that noise to travel. So, at any rate, I think that it's really important that you deny this proposal and that you consider the needs of the neighbors who have valuable properties. We take good care of our properties. We are not public nuisances, but we have to deal with a severe problem in our neighborhood, and we didn't put it there. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor or in denial of this request?
My name is Chris Larson. I'm the director of golf, the other owner of the clubhouse. First of all, I'd like to say we are a golf center through and through. The reason that we're asking for outdoor services, that's what our customers have asked us. So I'm very sorry that there's a few people that don't like us. All the times the police have shown up, we've never been outside of ordinance as far as noise goes. We've never been issued a ticket for a noise complaint. We're always willing to answer the phone and hear what the neighbors have to say. The only time we're ever confronted is here, which, you know, I'm always willing to talk to any of them. We're trying to provide another service that our customers ask for, which is on a beautiful day to be able to sit outside, have a drink, talk to their friends, and that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to ruin anybody's lives or take down their property values. We're trying to run a business, and we're trying to figure out ways to continue to make money when it is 72 and sunny. There's not too many people that want to play golf inside when it's 72 and sunny when, you know, Palmer Hills is 3 minutes up the road. So we're trying to figure out a way to keep our revenues going on beautiful days. And we're really not trying to hurt anyone's feelings or do anything to make their lives miserable, and we're always willing to talk to them. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor or opposition to this request? Please state your name, please, address.
My name is Lori Huser, and I'm 2514 Lindenwood Drive, right behind the clubhouse. And I guess hearing what he just said, I want you guys to understand that we're not necessarily worried about the beautiful sunny days. We're worried about the evenings from 9 o'clock till 2 o'clock in the morning. And the reason why their customers and patrons want to be able to go outside and smoke is because they're all very highly intoxicated. I hear them. I've actually gotten out of bed at 10 o'clock at night to go into the bar because calling the police doesn't do anything. My son was crying, my three-year-old son at the time was crying because there was a fight in the back of their building and somebody was yelling and cussing and it woke him up and he was crying. So it's not necessarily that we're worried about the days of these beautiful sunny days. It's a problem. It is a huge problem. They are loud, they are disruptive. Calling the police does not work. It's tiring, it's exhausting. It's gotta be exhausting for you. We're just asking that you guys take care of the problem because I think judgment on this whole issue was maybe misguided, but he stands up here saying he's a nice establishment. Sure, during the day, fine. He said they were gonna be an indoor country club. None of that. Maybe during the day, but you go in there at 10 o'clock. I went in there with my slippers and I couldn't even find a manager to talk to, and I had to go when I finally found somebody that was working. I had to talk to him in the front. And then I proceeded to get hit on by three guys because everybody is intoxicated. It's a rough crowd at night. It's a bar. Plain and simple, at night, it's a bar, and it's wreaking havoc on our neighborhood. People, I sit in my bedroom. I don't know what it is with the bed, but my bed shakes. And that is why I literally got out of bed, got dressed, and went there to complain, because calling the cops does nothing. So we are just asking you to please put an end to some of this for us as a neighborhood, because we're so tired of coming here. And you're probably tired of hearing us, too. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor or opposition to this request?
David Nankervoort, 2470 Lindenwood, direct neighbor. Just reading through the notes, the staff report here, one of the things that really struck my eye is there's, the board has recognized the outdoor service areas as consistent with the comprehensive plan. So they quoted some names of some establishments in the Carabedador. I guess it's a city. Anyway, Governors, Caddies, Carringtons. Please give me some examples of licensed establishments that neighbor on single family homes, especially ones of the values that we are trying to hold for our properties. That's the pure right that I have as a citizen of this town. All right. I have some questions, and I really did smile at Mr. Paul's comment that he's not really requesting a change of business. I wish we were here looking for a change of his business. We wouldn't be here then, all right? So just think of that, Mr. Paul. The question I have, I really want to see comparable places listed in the staff report. I want to see, I don't want to see the city set a precedent, all right? We're going to allow these people to have people go outside an establishment that has a great police record. And I don't see how this outdoor service area is going to do anything to improve that police record. When I go to an establishment, sure. When it's nice outside, I'd like to drink outside. But I drink within the bounds of the law. If I go to a place that only can drink outside and there's not even windows, I put myself there. I can drink under those parameters, all right? So you've heard my points of view. This is a known comparable situation. The other thing we see here on statement number 8, the board placed hours of operation restrictions on the outdoor service area at Crust. The board also warned Crust that they would review their approval if complaints were raised about the volume of music being played or if patrons became noisy. We already have that for this establishment. How is it that an outside service area that is similar and compatible to the uses existing would change any of that? It's only going to make it worse. Be realistic. All right? That's what I ask. I ask for the city to be realistic in this request and think about the citizens that are paying city taxes to keep their properties at a value that they lined up for when they bought those properties. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor or opposition to this request?
Yes, my name is Mike Porter, 2558 Lindenwood Drive. I'm an immediate neighbor to the clubhouse. I'd like the board to be made aware, I guess you've heard it from several of the neighbors here, that it is quite loud. I'd just like to reiterate that. If you leave the window open at night, particularly in the summertime, we've got motorbikes with straight pipes. We've got doors open and closed. The loud vibration, even when the doors are closed, just rattles our houses. The decibel level, you know, may or may not be within a constraint to issue them a citation, but it's darn close. It's got to be. We've had fights outside. I've had the opportunity to go into their establishment. I'd like to remind the board that This is not a similar or compatible type of situation that you see with an outdoor facility like Crust has. I would like to even suggest that the clubhouse be submitted for an audit for their establishment, because I don't believe that 50% of their income comes from golf. I believe more than 50% of it comes from liquor. To have a retail establishment next to R2 residential, it's required that more than 50% of the business has to be something other than liquor. And that's why you guys give a variance to in a special use permit to Frank's Pizza, also to Habaneros, and also to Crust. And I believe all three of those establishments, more than 50% of their retail business is pizza, you know, Mexican food, you know what I mean, and Italian, you know, crust type of food there at Crust. I don't believe that to be the case at the clubhouse establishment, and that's why I think it's called the Clubhouse Bar LLC. Let's see. With regards to my housing value, we've had a few houses sold in the area that I believe have been impacted by this situation. We've had people that talk to realtors, and we've had the citations that haven't been listed, but their complaint is there. And several of the realtors have heard that, and when we try to sell our homes there, it does come up. And I just don't believe the clubhouse has been a good neighbor. I think the intent is there, but it is a drinking establishment first and foremost. It's not a golf, quote-unquote, like Mr. Larson just said, it's not golf through and through. So if you take this business outside to a patio area, I think it only makes the situation even worse, because we're seeing complaints right now with the establishment being made indoors. If it's mainly outdoors at times during off hours as well as during the afternoon, I think you'll see even more complaints, and I just don't think the neighborhood would be compatible with that type of establishment. So with regards to that, I would say I ask you that you deny this special use permit to allow an outdoor facility at the clubhouse. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor or opposition to this request?
Never fails. I have to lower the microphone. My name is Kelly Meyer, and I'm at 2459 Lindenwood Drive, so I'm right across the street from the houses that back up to the clubhouse. And looking at this information from the report, the question that I have that I am just missing is, what are going to be the operational hours of that patio? Can someone answer that for me?
You mean the operation hours that are currently
there? Well, I know what the operation
hours aren't any.
Currently they're till 2 a.m. So my
question is, you can't deny them that.
Right. So you're saying that if you put this outdoor patio, we're going to have people that are outside.
We could put restrictions on that.
You can put restrictions
yes.
on that. Because
yes.
that's what we're seeing with our neighbors. And that is a deep concern because they're there till 2 a.m. even on Sunday nights. So, you know, if we look at having some kind of patio out there and we're going to be having things out there till 2 a.m. in the morning, you know, six nights a week, seven nights a week, I think that is really concerning to the rest of our neighbors, because we know how sound travels. And I want to thank staff for putting up this picture, because this picture is a much more accurate picture than the line drawing that preceded it. The line drawing that preceded it showed phase two as built. Phase two is not yeah. built yet, so we don't have that blockage of all those other buildings. So that, you know, that's showing there. Those buildings are not
there.
None
of that's here. That's
yeah.
correct.
That is not there. It is open area. Up and down that block, you can hear these people. You can hear at 5 in the morning. You can hear when those dumpsters are getting dumped out by the garbage. I know, because I'm up at 5 in the morning every single day. David, I see you nodding your head because you hear them too. So that is a real concern. If you are going to allow this patio, then we have to really take a serious look at that, because they're already there till 2 in the morning, which, again, I don't know how many people golf after, you know, 10 p. up to midnight. I could be wrong because I don't golf myself. But till 2 a.m., you know, what kind of golfing are we doing there? You know, it's not. It's a bar. Thank you.
Getting to the hours, John, you know we restricted the hours on the Crust. Could you explain that, please?
Sure. With Crust, you allowed the outdoor service area to be open till 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and close at 9 p.m. on Sundays.
Thank you. Is there anyone else want to speak in favor or opposition to this request? Seeing none, another question I have, John. Do you have a police report on this? Is that a major thing, or I was under the impression it was not, the police report. There were very few calls.
I spoke to one of the commanders on the police department today. He says they do routinely go up to this establishment for noise issues.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they are generated through officers' observations, most times through complaints.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, they have
calls.
Been at the establishment for noise.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else before we close this?
Do you want a copy?
Please report.
If you'd like them.
Sure. And we'll make it a part of the record for you.
I highlighted just the anything but a check.
Again, we've never been cited for a noise violation.
I'm sorry, Mary.
It's okay.
I think in any type of business like that, you're going to get people calling. With being the residents are so close, that's what impacts this request.
I think you have some more comments.
Pardon? Oh.
I do have another question.
Okay.
Based on the last comment we had about hours of operation and being a drinker, I would say that if we restrict those hours on the outside patio, and it's 10:30 at night per se, somebody came to me and said, oh, it's 10:30 on a Saturday night, you have to take your drink inside. I don't know how that's going to work. Be honest with yourselves, guys. It's not a viable proposition that we open up this outside patio area and then restrict hours at a place that is well known to be a meat market and not a golf establishment. I know, based on what Tyler was saying earlier, about things that happen in that establishment that revolve around city promotions, including Chamber of Commerce. I know they were there with a John Deere-based situation only around about 2 weeks ago. So yes, the clubhouse does have a good rapport with staff members in the city. That should not influence by any means my situation as a citizen and a taxpayer of this city. If that's how it comes down, that would be a very sad reflection on exactly what goes on in this city. And I would be more than happy to promote anything along those lines. Thank you for your time.
I, for one, sir, have never been in the building, so.
Thank you.
And I don't know who else has here.
I don't intend to either.
Pardon, sir?
I don't intend to either.
Mm-hmm. Is anyone else? And we'll close this.
Lori Huser again. I guess, as probably speaking for everybody, we plead to you to not let this pass. And the reason being is, we have voices when we come here, but if this is passed, we don't have a voice. The calling the police doesn't do anything. If you guys pass this, we lose our voice for this, and we lose control of our property, pretty much is what it is. So we're asking you to not pass this so our voices can actually be heard, because we kind of feel like we're going over and over and over with this, and we feel really beat down because it's really affecting us. So I just want you guys to consider that severely when you make your decision.
Thank you. But any business owner has a right to request what they're requesting. So that's what we're here for tonight, is to make a decision. Thank you. Is anyone on the board have a question here?
I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. I have been in the establishment several times,
mm-hmm.
and it does stay open late. They do have DJs on the weekends. It is loud in there. Just to give you an overview of what I've observed.
Okay.
I have been in there on a Saturday afternoon or a summer afternoon, and it's a lot quieter. I don't see a lot of people using the golf things during the day, but I have not been in there frequently during the day, as I have a job. But I would agree with the residents here that, when it comes to evenings, it's not a golf establishment in a reasonable person's estimation.
And it is close to the residential properties.
Well, I haven't walked
where other places are not.
Their street, but yeah, it's pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very nice establishment inside. It's but that is just my observation from having been in there.
Thank you. Mary, do you have any comments?
At the moment, I'm just digesting it all still. The zoning of that whole site is what, John? I mean, is it
commercial?
I mean,
C2 commercial.
I mean, so they weren't giving any variance initially when they went in there, were they, as a use?
I think some of the comments that were made here are very accurate, that the when this was originally presented to city officials as to what kind of a business establishment it would be, it was going to be something unique to the Quad City area, a high technology simulated indoor golf place where you could get lessons, where you could golf throughout the winter in the weather like we're having right here. I think what they've told you here is very accurate, that that is what was portrayed the business would be when it was originally brought before you.
Can I add to that? They have many golf simulators in there. Like,
oh, yes.
What you're talking about.
And it is.
Across one wall, there's all sorts of.
It is capable of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we are. Friday and Saturday nights, we do have a lot of people that come to the clubhouse, and we try and give them a good level of service for what they're expecting. Outside of those two times, which is what we've kind of been discussing tonight, there are more people in there to golf than to drink. And that's just the way it is. I mean, we're a golf place. People come to golf. And then people come and let loose a little bit on Friday and Saturday nights. But to portray us as a bar is just inaccurate. We're a golf facility.
John, are there similar limitations on Habanero's patio?
They have one, do they?
Yeah.
They do.
Well, yeah. I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, okay.
One of the points that was brought up here, that on item 9 of the report, the comparisons, not realizing that they did not serve food there, and now I do. That's a fair criticism too. That the other establishments are food establishments that are in this report.
Dave, do you have anything
with
to
the
say?
Exception of Harrington's. Oh, right. I don't know that Harrington's serves food.
No, they don't.
But isn't it correct? Governor's is not near residential, single-family residential. Caddy's.
They're all separated from residential.
There's none of those that are the closest that anybody, any of these comes to residential is Caddy's, and that's multifamily. Right.
There are no single families.
Grinders is a next to residential.
There are no single families.
But I think it's
not. No single family. No. Yeah. So
they're next to a apartment complex now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they have yours too.
Caddy's would probably be the closest. Oh, I'm not really good at this.
Is mostly Scott County.
At least 1,000 feet, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next to Caddy's, those apartments are mostly students at Scott Community College.
Yeah.
Do you have something, Dave?
Well, I guess I was going to address that very question because I didn't. I agreed. I don't think the comps are comparable. I'm going to go to the staff's recommendation, which says, if the board feels that circumstances have changed substantially since the 2011 request, then we might want to consider this. And I have seen nothing, heard nothing, or read nothing that leads me to believe that the situation is substantially different since this was denied in 2011. And so I will be unable to support it.
Would you like to make a motion to that effect? Or anyone else want to make a motion?
I guess I will make a motion that we deny the application under case number 13-053.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, would you call the vote, Lisa?
Hawk?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
We're voting to deny. Yes.
Voting to deny.
Yes.
No.
Gallagher?
Yes. Thank you. The item, case number 13-053 at 2501 53rd Avenue has been denied. The request denied. Thank you, folks. Is there anything else to be brought before?
I have nothing further. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Everyone have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You all have a great Christmas as well.
Thank you.